Although I was only 4 years old, I clearly remember my mother, Edna Parker, explaining to me why she had to leave Memphis for Chicago and how I would become part of a new family. I can't get a job here unless I'm scrubbing some white folks' floor. Her work schedule wouldn't allow her the time to take care of me properly. She didn't know where she was going, but she knew that she didn't want me to be raised by babysitters. The job opportunities for poor black women then were slim to none. Even though Memphis was a hub for people coming from the surrounding rural areas to find work in the factories, that work was mostly for men. I easily accepted the move, as it seemed that everyone around me in Memphis was moving north to Detroit, Chicago, or New York. Staying with my birth father, John White, who died when I was 5 years old, was not an option. White was originally from Mississippi. When he moved to Memphis, he opened a club on Beale Street. He wasn't the kind of guy who was going to work at the big 40-acre Firestone plant in North Memphis, nor was he going to become a Pullman porter. According to local legend, he aspired to be the Al Capone of Black Memphis. He became a gangster, a mean gangster. In my limited interactions with him, he was also a mean father. On one occasion, trying to escape a beating, I ran into the closet and hid in the corner, concealed by hanging clothing. Looking down, I saw a pair of bright green shoes. They looked magical. I was captivated by them. When my mother left Memphis at the age of 21, she put my small yellow hand in Miss Robinson's big, soft black hand. "You mind, Miss Robinson, now?" she said with tears in her eyes, leaning down to give me a kiss on the cheek. Somehow her face seemed smaller, and the room seemed larger. Elvira Robinson was a wide lady, just over 5 feet tall, who I would call Mama until the day she died, while my birth mother became Mother Dear. Mother Dear had God on her side, which gave her the good instinct to leave me with Mama. Since Mother Dear was only 17 years old when she had me, being left with mature Miss Robinson turned out to be the first blessing of my life. Sweet, tender, godly, and strong. She was a gift to me. For black people born in the 1930s and 40s, it was not uncommon to be raised by your grandmother, and for many years I would refer to Miss Robinson as my grandmother. It offered a neat and tidy way to explain my upbringing in Memphis, away from my birth mother. I got my strength from Miss Robinson. She had a lot of wisdom. Book education is one thing, but wisdom is something different. She was always saying things like, "Be true to yourself. Keep your life clean. Keep the house clean. God is always with you. And keep stepping," meaning moving forward. She didn't treat me as a child, hugging on me and all that, but her words compensated for the lack of physical affection. "Whatever you have, God can use," she would remind me. Most of all, she would tell me, "Sandy," my nickname was Sandy because of my blonde hair and fair skin, "you are going to be a successful man, and you're going to get the world's attention." I think Mama had a sixth sense. She instinctively knew I needed those affirmations. I was a profoundly shy child. I don't know if I was born that way or if shyness was awakened within me when Mother Dear left. Mama stressed order on every level. She would only need a gesture to me to clean up. She looked down at the floor and raise her hand and slightly point as if to say, "Pick this up and put that away." I am a neat freak to this day as a result. As part of our routine, every evening, the shabby, spring-loaded screen door would fly open and loudly slam against the house. A second later, I'd hear her voice ring out, "Sandy!" like an air raid horn. Everyone on my street could hear her calling me in for dinner. Mama worried about me being out in the streets. She had a strong presence in the neighborhood, which provided some safety early in my life. She also had strong skills with a switch. I had to be home at a certain time or there would be hell to pay. I didn't get away with anything. One winter, my whippings came to an end. I'd missed my curfew the night before. I was 12 years old, and it was cold in our meager apartment that morning. "What time did you get home last night, Sandy?" Mama asked. "Mama, I was only about 15 minutes behind," I said, although I'd really been over an hour late. "Well, go get the belt." I got up from the table, walked that long stroll of 8 steps, opened the closet door, gave her the dark brown leather belt, and sat down. I knew what was coming. She started walking toward me. I don't know what came over me, but I wasn't in the mood for a whipping. I stood up and said, I'm bigger than you, I'm taller than you, and you can't even get your arm around me. I'm sorry for being late, but I ain't taking no whipping.